I'm happy to see each one of you that came out this night. I'm sure our brother is happy to have a congregation that is eager to hear the words that he has for us that the Lord has placed upon his heart. So I ask that you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Brian. I am indeed happy to be here this night. I have to say I'm kind of excited to come and to act as a capacity of the servant and bring to you the word of the Lord. Might be kind of short tonight. I only have 2 pages of notes, but I've been told in the past that people never really mind if you go a little short. They mind if you go a little long. So personally, I don't mind either. Tonight, I want to talk about trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to start off by telling you, I guess, a testimony and perhaps a confession that I didn't do what I should have done at a certain time. As many of you know, we just returned from the camp in the Missouri reunion, and that was very good. I thought that was a very good a time and a time of learning for me. After camp, on Friday, we were able to attend the service that evening and then get up in the morning and attend the morning prayer service and testimony service. And then our plan was, my dad and I and my brother, to leave directly after that. And I was asked to pass the microphone, kind of like my brother or some of the others do around here, for Dan Lawrence, because he was controlling the sound. And I did that, and the service went on, and it came to the time of testimonies, and I got the microphone, and I started passing it to different people, and there was a lot of wonderful testimonies. And it was impressed upon me at that time, a verse, a scripture verse. And it came to me, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." And it was impressed on me to get up and say something about that. I didn't know exactly what I needed to say, but I didn't. I just thought, well, you know, I'm doing my job. I'm passing the microphone to different people. I'll just let everyone else, you know, give their testimonies. And then during that service, the kind of a common theme was trusting on the Lord. Several testimonies related to that. And the hour grew late. And again, it was impressed on me, you know, you need to stand up and say something. Except this time, an experience that I heard a couple years ago came to my mind. It's not my testimony, but it's a testimony of my brother in Africa, Michael. And Brian can correct me on this because I won't relate it with exact accuracy. But it was a testimony of him deciding to get together with the church members and have special services over the course of 2 or 3 days. And testimony was impressed upon me along with this verse. And I didn't give up, and I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I just let the time pass. I thought, well, you know, that's all right. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I'll have time other times to tell a testimony. And then we had a camp meeting directly following that service. And in that meeting, Jeff stood up, and he said, the theme for 2007 camp is going to be Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, or 5 through 7, or whatever it was. And it said it's going to be, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. I thought, oh, great. I messed it up. I should have got up and said something. Well, I'm here now. I'm telling it to you. And that's what the sermon's going to be about, is trusting in the Lord and not trusting in our own understanding. I'd like to start off by telling you, if I can, maybe from memory, that testimony of Michael. And if I go wrong, you're welcome to correct me anywhere along the line. I think it starts out, like I said, with him deciding to get together with a couple different churches and have a special service for Easter or Christmas or Thanksgiving. I don't remember what it was. And he decided to do this, so he made the proper arrangements. And they got together. And I think they had one service. And then he was told the night before the next service, Michael, you need to move the service to a different spot. I was impressed on him by the Lord. And said, okay. So he moved it to a different spot down the road a little ways and made the proper arrangements so all the congregations knew. And they came and they had their service. And while they're having their service, a couple men came in the back, and it was their intentions to disrupt the service, to probably harm the people there. They had knives, pongas, big old machetes, and other weapons, and it was their intention to stop the service, probably to harm or kill our brother Michael and the people met in that congregation. And they had a leader, a man that was a leader, that told them all these false things about the church. You know, they worship the devil, their Book of Mormon's nothing but bad stuff, and teaches them to kill children and all this other stuff. And he had kind of got these group of men together and kind of told them that, you know, we need to go stop this. And so they're sitting in the back, and they're arguing. They start arguing and talking one with another. And in the meantime, they start listening to Michael. And Michael sees them. He's up in the front preaching. He sees them out there, and he sees that they have knives. And he discerns their intention, and it was evil. And he asks the Lord, and, you know, should I stop? What should I do? And the Lord says, you know, you need to keep preaching. You need to trust on the Lord with all your heart. And he does that. And the men start listening in the back. And I don't know, three or four of them. And they start listening to the words that he speaks. And he's preaching out of the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the words of God. And they start listening. And they start, a couple of them start thinking, yeah, this isn't so bad. And they turned to the leader and they said, you know, this guy is preaching the word of God. What are you talking about? And he still is in opposition. So they end up leaving the place, going out and killing the leader. The two or three men kill the leader. And then the family of the leader asked Michael to preach the funeral service of that man, whose intention it was to come and kill him that day, or harm him, or drive the people of the Lord out. And my point in telling you this story is that Michael trusted upon the Lord. He listened to what the Lord said. And, you know, if it had been me, if it had been any number of people, you know, whoever, in a different situation, you might have ran for your life. But he trusted in the Lord. And I'm not saying this to raise him up above anyone else, but this, just that he obeyed what it said in that verse. And I'd like to turn to that verse right now, and it's in Proverbs, the third chapter. I hope I didn't mess that up too much, Brian. Proverbs chapter 3. And I was going to read most of the chapter, but I'm really thinking that the focus of this sermon needs to be on verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, how do we trust in the Lord? How do we do what this verse says? How do we put into practice what it says in these couple verses? So as many times I take a verse or a group of verses, I use it as a text, and then I break it up into several different pieces, and I try to bring scriptural support in on each of those pieces. So that's what I did. I have four main sections tonight, just splitting up this verse. I'd like to start off on the first section, which is, how do we trust the Lord? And first thought that came to my mind was believe in Him. So we're going to go to another camp theme. And it was funny how many camp themes I ran across connected to this verse. And that is going to be in Mosiah. It's going to be Mosiah chapter 2. And a lot of these scriptures, they kind of overlap, and I don't want to be redundant, but a lot of them do say the same thing. But I'm a slow learner, so hopefully maybe you guys won't get too bored with some of these scriptures that overlap and the sections that overlap. But we're going to start in chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 13, I believe. Nope, verse 10. It says on page 220, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundations of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. And I say that this is a man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which has been prepared from the foundations of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, which ever are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is no other salvation save this, which hath been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions whereby I have told you. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things in heaven and earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He will forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Belief in God. That was the first thing that really came to my mind. To trust in something, you really need to have a belief in it. I looked up the definition of belief. I'd like to read that. It says, wait a second. You know, I'm not going to read that right now. I'm going to hold off on that. Sorry. I thought I marked it, but I didn't. So we'll have to hold off on that. This covers a lot of different things. And first off, it says up here in verse 10, it says that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord. That's the first thing that tied me into the scripture. And then down here it says, believe in God that He has created all things in heaven and in earth. So basically, and then it says, believe that He hath all wisdom and power both in heaven and earth. So basically, we're saying that God is our creator, and He is our maker, and that He has all wisdom. So we're basically setting God over here, and we're setting us over here. Nathan, can I have you go get me a drink of water before I lose my voice like I always do? Thank you. Plus, I've had some allergies since I've been in Missouri, so it doesn't help any. Also, it says, believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. That really hit me pretty hard, too. And we can't expect to understand everything. When the Lord asks us to trust Him, we can't understand to expect to understand everything right then. There's a lot of times, a lot of different references in the Bible that talk about this. With that, I'm going to go on to lean on our own understanding, because it goes back and forth. And this, for instance, this verse also ties into leaning not on our own understanding. I'd like to remind you guys of the story of Job. And all you guys know the story of Job. He was a very righteous man who lived back in the Old Testament of the Bible. And he did what the Lord told him to do. And the adversary came to the Lord and said, thank you. The adversary came to the Lord and said, the Lord came to the adversary, I think, and said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah. And he said, if you hadn't protected him, then he wouldn't be doing so great if your hand of protection wasn't over him. And so he was allowed to tempt Job and to put him through trials. And he went through many trials in his life. He lost his children, his wife, his house, his riches, everything. And all through this, he kept on the straight path. He kept on putting his trust in the Lord. And he didn't know the end result of what was going to happen. But he kept on trusting in the Lord. Even though these times seemed hard, even though these things that were happening to him didn't seem like they should happen to him, he probably said to himself, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm doing what I should be. Why are these things happening? But he kept his faith. He kept his belief and his trust on the Lord. There's also another example, and I'm going to read this one. And this is in the book of Daniel. Now, I come up here, and I stand, and I just start falling apart. My nose starts running. I lose my voice. I don't know what it is. Can I get a Kleenex, please? Next time, I'm going to bring my camel back. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, two. We're going to go to the book of Daniel, in the second chapter. Thank you. Maybe I'll bring a wet nurse next time, too. Just to take care of me. Okay. Book of Daniel, chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 through 10 and then 20 through 30. And this is Daniel interpreting the vision of the king. And this is the vision of the statue and all that. But I don't want to worry about that. We're just talking about trusting in the Lord right now. So Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said in the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye will show me the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye will receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show unto me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell us his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye will gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can shew me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean." Now let's go to verse 20. Now, what happened there is the king had this dream. He couldn't remember. So he called all his wise men and his sorcerers, and they couldn't. They said, We have no idea. We can't tell you your dream. You have to tell us the dream, and then we'll interpret it. So now we drop down to verse 20. And it says, And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God. And this is after Daniel was brought before the king. Daniel was told about this, and he was going to be killed with his friends. And he said, let me pray to God, and then he'll give me the interpretation thereof. So in verse 20 it says, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons, and he removeth the kings, and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth that is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, which was the captain of the king's guard, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man at the captives of Judea that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, Whose name was Belshazzar? Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secrets which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king
Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days? Thy dream and vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he revealed the secrets, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Anyway, my point in reading this was, is all these wise men of the king, these soothsayers, you could probably equate them to our modern day, possibly, this is just a rough parallel, to like our very educated people, our professors, people that write books and theses and different things. And these guys are like the smartest men, the advisors of the king, like our advisors of our president. And he calls them, and they can't give him the answer. They can't tell him the dream. They can't tell him the interpretation or anything. And their trust was in the earthly things, their education, their whatever it was at the time, their training. And then here comes Daniel, also educated, but not putting his trust in those things, those fleshly things. He's putting his trust in God. And what does he do? He prays to God, and he asks him. And the Lord makes it known unto him. And the whole point in reading this was that Daniel put his trust in the Lord, whereas these other people, the soothsayers, Chaldeans, put their trust in man. And the Lord came through for them and saved his life, saved the life of those around about him, and put him in a position to do the Lord's will further in his life. Another, for instance, I thought this was important, this particular section, leaning not on our own understanding. Because a lot of times I know I do it, so, you know, maybe that's why I put it here, so I can remind myself. I like to go from this to 2 Nephi, chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 61 through 66. It says on page 94, verse 61, O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my salvation, or rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. This is another thing that sometimes us as men, us as people, have a problem with. We put our trust in the arm of flesh. We put our trust in what we know, what we've learned, what we've grown up with. The United States, mighty nation in the world, a world power, has the best trained, close to the best trained, everything military-wise. We're out there in the world, and a lot of the nations of the world look at us as this great United States, the unconquerable. But you know what? It is. It's conquerable. It can fall in a day. And I printed out this little blurb of history that happened on August 6th, 1945. Can anybody tell me here perhaps what happened today in 1945? You're right. Hiroshima. And it happened this day. I didn't know how I was going to weave this into my sermon until just this very moment, but I found it on the internet this morning. And I'm glad I did. And what happened is, I'm sure you guys know the story, but just to refresh you, the bombing of Hiroshima. B-29 bomber flew over Japan because it was a direct order from the President Truman at the time, because he thought it was too costly to invest, you know, hundreds of thousands of men into trying to conquer Japan. He was advised that, you know, there's no way we're gonna take that without huge loss of life. So the other option was the atomic bomb. And what they did is they flew over Japan on 8:16 a.m. this morning, 61 years ago, and they dropped the bomb. And in an instant, an entire culture and an entire society vanished. And it could happen to us. It could happen to anyone. And my point in saying this is that we can't put our trust in the arm of flesh because it will fail us. It can disappear. Our society, our culture could disappear like that. And if that's where our trust is, then we're going to be in pretty sad shape. But if we trust in the Lord, even if something like that happened to this great United States, it wouldn't matter because we'd still be under His protection. We'd still have the confidence that comes with trusting Him. 80,000 people died instantly then. And within a year, over 140,000 people were killed. A great disaster, a great horrific act that actually ended World War II. Something that can stand as an example that day-to-day life, as it goes on, you know, could end immediately. Enough of that. Let's go on to one more scripture, I believe. Let's go on to... I'm going to tell you a quick story, and that just relates to this section, one more, to kind of support it. And that's the story of Gideon. And at camp, I had a class, and I was supposed to do some homework and study about the story of Gideon, and it reminded me of it, because I hadn't read it in a really long time. And the story of Gideon is that, you know, this army was coming to attack Israel, and Gideon was called of the Lord, basically, to stop it. And he had several, you know, tens of thousands of men at his disposal. And the army he was going up against probably had 100,000, 150,000 men, significantly outnumbered. But he trusted in the Lord. And to make a long story short, he ended up going to battle with 300 men. Only 300 men against, you know, 100, 150,000. And it was all through the design of the Lord so that nobody could say that it was them doing it, that they could only say it was through the Lord that this was accomplished. But Gideon trusted in the Lord. To go into battle with 300 men against 150,000+ troops, he had to trust in the Lord. And each one of those men had to trust in the Lord that he knew better. And through the Lord's plan, they didn't even have to lift a finger. They didn't even have to lift their swords and fight, but it was all taken care of. But they had to trust in the Lord with all their heart. I am going to examine that a little bit, talking about all our heart, what that means. I mean, we can believe in something, we can do something, but I think there's a difference in doing something halfway and then truly doing it with all our heart. So let's go into Luke chapter 9. Verse 57 through 62. It says, It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds have the air, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell which are in my home. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man who has started down a path is fit and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If we truly, when we're baptized, if we're planted firmly on the path of life and we're going forward and we look back, it says we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Not many of us plow fields these days, I don't think. Maybe a couple of us have in our life. But something that always comes to me when I'm mowing many of your lawns out there, mowing your lawns, is, you know, I'm going on a straight course. I'm following, you know, the next row over, and, you know, a fast car, a Dodge Viper goes down the road, and I look just for a second, and the row's off, and I'm either too far on the left side or too far on the right. I'm leaving something, or I'm not taking enough. And it's the same thing, I think, as plowing. You know, you're going along, you're plowing, you know, you turn around and talk to your neighbor or whatever, and then your row's crooked. And the Lord says, if we do this, if we're not full-heartedly into it, you know, our sight is singled upon that goal, that, you know, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. We need to do it with our trusting in the Lord with all our heart. I would like to turn, I'm not going to turn to it. I'm just going to, you know, a verse that I'm going to use a little farther on, but I like to use, I work it into almost every sermon. And it's seeking the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we're seeking the Lord first. We're looking at the Lord. We're looking at the goal. And then the things of life that we turn around and we look at will be added unto us. But our eye has to be focused on that goal. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm just on my first page. Holy mackerel. Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to go verse 3 through 9. And it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And fell upon stony, some fell on stony ground, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in good ground, and brought forth some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears, let him hear." Now we're going to go to verse 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choketh the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which is also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Same thing, another parable given to us by our Lord in the Scriptures that is talking about, no, we hear the Lord, the word of the Lord, we hear what we should be doing, and if we let it fall on thorny ground or rocky ground, you know, it may spring up for a while, but when trials or tribulations come, it's gone. You know, it's scorched by the sun, it won't stand a chance. But if it falls on good ground, if our heart is truly trusting in the Lord, if we're truly seeking that kingdom, then it will grow in us and it will come to fruition, and some will 30, 60, 100-fold. I would like to now turn to Matthew chapter 6, just a couple pages over. We're going to be reading in verse 19. It says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And that's true. If we are seeking towards the riches of this life, if we're not truly seeking for the Lord's kingdom, then that's where our treasures will be. And then at the end of our life, that's where our reward will be too, is just that in this life. It'll be over. But if we lay up ourselves treasures in heaven, then that's where our reward will be, in heaven also. Let's read on through verse 24. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be singled, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Same thing. You know, I think it's very important that not only are we trusting in the Lord, but trusting in the Lord with all our heart. That is our supreme focus in life, is the Lord. And trusting in what He says that encompasses so much stuff. Could probably preach two or three sermons on it. You know, His commandments, obeying Him, many different things. Well, I need to move on. The next section is, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And how do we acknowledge the Lord? That's the question I have. First off, the thing that came to my mind is He is our Creator. Right there in Mosiah, it talked about, you know, believe that He created all things in heaven and earth. Let's turn to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. We'll be reading verse 7, only 7, I believe. Yeah, just a quick verse. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was the moment of our creation. We became from dust, from nothing, to life with an eternal living soul. And how does this apply to acknowledging the Lord? Well, we need to acknowledge that He created us. He is the supreme being. He's the one that is responsible for our life. And we owe everything we have and more to Him. Let's go to, I have a couple quick one-verse scriptures. I'm going to run through it pretty quick. Revelations chapter 22. Exactly polar opposite side of the Bible. Revelations 22. I'll be reading one verse, and that is verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Right there. He tells it right straight to you. There's no getting around that. Alpha and Omega. I mean, I believe those are Hebrew letters for the beginning and the end of their alphabet. He is the beginning and the end. We need to acknowledge that. That He is everything. Let's move on to Psalms. I'm going to read several verses here in Psalms. Chapter 63. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 11. The whole chapter, I believe. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in the dry and thirsty land, where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because of Thy loving kindness, is life is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee, will I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. David, the writer of the large portion of the Psalms, was very, very good at acknowledging the Lord. There is psalm after psalm after psalm that sings praises unto Him and really acknowledges that He is the Lord, and that in every part of David's life, he did this. He acknowledged the Lord, you know. You're my strength in a time of trouble. You know, you save me from my enemies. All these different things over and over again through the Psalms. He praises the Lord and he acknowledges the Lord. Same thing for us. We need to truly acknowledge the Lord in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, that, you know, he will be our support if we do it. Let's move on. I'm running out of time quickly. I still have another section. I'd like to read one more scripture about this section, and that will be found in Alma chapter 17. Alma 17, verse 68 through 70. It says, O remember, my son, and learn wisdom in your youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let thy affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be filled with thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. Here, once again, we see right here in Alma, who is talking to Helaman, is saying, you know, let God be in every aspect of your life. Acknowledge him in every aspect, in your thoughts, you know, when you go to bed, when you wake up, you know, be in constant communication through prayer with him. Acknowledge the Lord in every aspect of your life. I'd like to move on to my last section. And it was a little bit more difficult for me to perhaps narrow this down on a couple quick scriptures for this section. And it's, he has promised to direct our paths. Here we've gone through trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our understanding, but the Lord's. And then the end result, as with many scriptures, is the promise that he will direct our paths. I'd like to quote once again. No, I'll remind you of the scripture. I just talked about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking first the kingdom, then these things will be added unto you. I'd like to read, let's see, chapter 2 of 1 Nephi. 1 Nephi chapter 2. I'll be reading verse 62 through 69. This will be on page 21. It says, And I beheld a rod of iron. Excuse me. I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, and as if it had been a world. And I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that they arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. This represents a spiritual walk of life. These right here, these scriptures that the Lord has given unto us, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, are the rod of iron. It says in the scripture that he will direct our path. Well, how better to direct our path but through these two books? It's one way that he can direct our path. I'd also like to read a scripture, the 23rd Psalm, very familiar to most of you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If we follow these words, simple words in these scriptures that I've read tonight, and in the scripture that says, you know, scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, then, you know, the end result will be this path to eternal life and this tree of eternal life, and also along the way, the Lord leading us and guiding us and directing us through our path. Like David says, though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil. I'd like to read one more scripture tonight, just a tiny scripture in closing. And it's back in Mosiah, and it's going to be Mosiah chapter 2, and we read it already once. And it says, after talking about all these things in the scriptures, it says, "And now if you believe in all these things, see that you do them." And I guess if I could leave you with one thing this night, you know, if you believe in these words, not that I have said, but that are found in the scriptures, that you truly trust in the Lord. Because I know that times may get difficult in each of our lives personally. Times may be difficult for us as a church, for as young people, as a nation, looking forward to times to come, maybe uncertainty. But if we heed these words found in these scriptures, to seek first the kingdom of God, to put our trust in the Lord with all our heart, that He will truly guide our path in our life. I thank you for your time.